Okay, hello and welcome to today's podcast where we'll be discussing COVID-19 business disruption and how it fuels digital acceleration in life sciences. My name is Joe DeProspero, and with me today are Evie Cohen, VP of Global Life Sciences and Healthcare at Appian, and Rajesh Misra, KPMG US Principal and Advisory Services. So, Rajesh, can you start us off by discussing a little bit, you know, knowing that digitization efforts suddenly ramped up this year, which projects require the most immediate attention and why?
Thank you, Joe. One thing that we have realized and we have seen, one of the main focus for digitization in the post-COVID world is to revisit workflows and execute activities remotely in a physically distant environment. Towards this end, we are seeing more and more digitization projects focused on basically removing paper from the process, enabling workforce to work remotely, accelerating change control, which is pretty complicated in life sciences. Launching digital health products, we are seeing a lot of these projects coming on board now, and also supporting remote clinical trials. Digitization in life sciences takes a very special meaning within life sciences, as we still deal with lots of paper within manufacturing, within quality, within regulatory, within supply chain and clinical areas. We are also seeing new platform projects in the area of regulatory information management, quality management, supplier quality management, and general product change control, among others. Other areas like support for remote audit by notified bodies, other health authorities, as well as remote documentation reviews, remote supplier audits. These are the things that we are seeing more coming now in the post-COVID world, and these are the new digitization projects that we are seeing. One other thing I want to point out is, like, for example, digital clinical trials is a new thing. It's catching up. A lot of projects coming for e-consent from patients. Same thing with the digital health projects, that we are seeing more and more use of artificial intelligence, machine learning within digital health projects as well. One other new area that we are seeing more is the computer system validation, optimizing the basic software life cycle that's going on, and that is getting a new meaning in the post-COVID world, that how do I launch my projects, complete my projects faster. The other area is the renewed focus on agile methodologies. Nobody has time to do a typical waterfall software development work. It's much more agile, much more faster, so we are seeing more projects that's focused on GXP, using Agile, as well as using more DevOps technologies. So these are the things that we are seeing.
Yeah, Rajesh, I mean, this is Evie here. I mean, I will echo that. You know, I think what I'm also, recognizing and what we see is that, you know, we're noticed that the spaces that were already working towards digital transformation, and which have been considered for the past few years as ripe for digital transformation, but yet with plans that were probably on a longer scale, for example, tackling automation over, let's say, the next 3 to 5 years, have actually accelerated given the unique situation and being forced to work from home and taking our whole information workforce from the office, from the manufacturing plant to work from home. Those that could work from home were asked to work from home and continue to do so now for, you know, pretty much the past year, might not have had all the information at their fingertips that would have accommodated that workflow that you spoke about in the smoothest way. We know that there's a lot of tracking done in Excel spreadsheets, right? And that's not always conducive to being able to collaborate. So if you are working in a co-located location, it's easier for you to actually, you know, come together to a meeting and open the tracking sheet and work and then adjust and move on. And then you can follow up with some emails, et cetera. That has now been and made much more difficult with the fact that people are now working each from our offices in different locations. And the need for that workflow, passing information from each other, collaboration along that line is really important. The acceleration of the digitization can be also seen across the overall product development and commercialization lifecycle. While there's certain areas, and I'll point them out in a minute, you know, that we can see more acceleration than others, overall we see this across the board. You mentioned many areas that are still very manual, A lot of paperwork still being moved around. If it's not paper in paper form, it's Word documents that get passed around. And that in itself also creates a situation where automation and digital transformation workflow capabilities create additional value. Some of the areas seem to require, new evaluation, for new considerations that, will enable smoother remote work to enhance the work of teams. Those, in my mind, are, the spaces of clinical operations, as we see, where work towards decentralized clinical trials, as you mentioned, was already a consideration, but is only accelerating. There's also work here in the space that spills over into the general clinical operations. So where the special situation of the pandemic that required more work remotely has really highlighted and, created the challenge for moving faster, getting there. Of course, the impact on any companies that were dealing with the pandemic and dealing with actual creation of vaccines and having to deal with clinical operations supporting vaccines, for them it was an immediate need. Other companies had to deal with other products that, and other clinical trials that needed to be moved forward. But overall, I think we're seeing now that we're coming on the edge of this, that, some of the practices that have been put in place during the pandemic are probably actually going to stick. Some of the remote clinical site monitoring that sprung up, during the pandemic, where we couldn't actually go to a site to, do an inspection, evaluation, or we avoided from doing so. Some of those practices dealing with remote and virtual checklists are going to stick probably for the long run, and we're going to be allowing, folks to actually not have to jump on a plane every time to go to a site and look at it, and evaluate the site, but actually do much of that work remotely. Back to you, Joe.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys. So, Evie, staying with you here, can you talk a little bit about what the top drivers of acceleration are?
Certainly. I mean, so we see top drivers of acceleration, seem to be the gap of, they're just the existing lagging digitization and automation in life sciences. There's a study that was done that, provided some assessment of life sciences and healthcare, comparing that to other industries, and we've actually seen that life sciences and medical products industry are, among the laggards in the space. Now, if you look at and consider that the area of information and communication technologies, is considered maybe at 100%, the level of digitization in the life sciences and medical product space has been achieving about 13.4% digitization. To compare that to other industries, financial services was rated at about 30%, retail and travel at about 50%. So we can see that some of the drivers, that were identified in that study also go further to indicate that, it's about revenue generation, cost efficiencies, automation in supply chain, and enabling a digital workforce. So realizing that there is still a considerable runway ahead in the way that we can digitize, and I mentioned it in the answer to the previous question as well, there was already work towards that, but what we see is an acceleration of that. Given that, the gap is pretty wide still, we see that with the tremendous value of, proposition here, the ability to achieve that acceleration, achieve the efficiencies, and create additional value is definitely there. And we'll see we'll see that will itself propel companies to actually take action, to become better at what they do, to create additional cost efficiencies, to be more competitive as well. Rajesh, any comments and thoughts from your perspective?
Absolutely. I mean, the one thing, Evie, that we see in the current environment, speed to market takes a very special meaning. I mean, we have seen and we are seeing for last 1 year that every company is looking for how do I optimize my supply chain? How do I optimize my manufacturing? How can I get a product faster to the market? In that case, we see speed to market as the reason for acceleration. And for that, this has created a new need for a application platform that can help digitization faster, as well as can orchestrate cross-functional processes within enterprise, but also across the value chain. So we are seeing more of product change control, for example, basic lab records review, batch release, complaint management within medical device tracking and digital health products. All of these things are cases for or examples of accelerated deployment, because these are the things that is needed today and in fact was needed yesterday. So that's what we are seeing much more of, what's happening in the market, and these are the things that's driving the acceleration in the digitization within life sciences.
Great. So Rajesh, this next question for you is about the present and the future. So how do you see organizations handling their clinical operations differently now? And do you think it changes how they'll handle and plan for future business disruptions?
What we are seeing is accelerated digital clinical trial execution, accelerated the need for platforms to effectively connect patients, caregivers, clinicians, investigators, and life sciences organizations to basically accelerate digital clinical trial, improve clinical trial matching, and drive retention. These are the things that we believe that it's going to sustain. It is not one time, this is the new norm. We think that digital clinical trial, more and more companies will adopt, and that will be the new, that will be the basic operating model for clinical trials in the future. Evie, any other thoughts on this?
Yeah, Rajesh, I mean, we're hearing, you know, a lot of information and learning coming out of the current clinical trials that have been in place to support COVID-19 vaccine and COVID-19 treatments. The nice heroic stories, you know, from Pfizer, from J&J, from other companies that have been very forthright in moving forward with helping us get to the place we are today with the vaccines. And what we're hearing from those teams is that they've, number one, taken the best folks that they could put on the projects, of course, right? They then, of course, gave them the, you know, they were all invigorated to actually work, you know, as fast and as strong as possible. So we see a lot of brute force and a lot of heroic efforts that supported what they were doing, but they also changed how they did their work, right? There's a lot of learning coming out from, you know, Pfizer, for example, at Scope. You know, there was a very nice discussion on what and how they achieved what they achieved. And, you know, a good part of it was the learning of understanding that they did a lot of work in parallel. They created a lot of paths where they may have taken a little bit of, you know, the risk of things actually, you know, while going in parallel, you're not exactly sure which path is going to achieve where you would like to be. But that in itself has created the ability to shrink the timelines to actually, you know, I think part of it was also about making sure that, you know, teams have regular cadence around getting connected, moving information across the globe from one team to the other, the ability to actually avoid from too many lag decisions or waiting for another team for a decision, you know, actually forcing those decisions. Now, the question now is, how do you take that and apply some of those lessons to other instances of clinical trials? So going forward, you know, where we still might see folks either remote or not remote, but it's still going to be, is there a way to systematize this? Is there a way to actually put that into, you know, leverage a platform to get to that point that you can actually facilitate and, you know, not have to depend on the brute force or heroic efforts of individuals, but can you actually get those tasks, you know, appropriately managed in a system? We see that the wave of transformation is actually rising across the board beyond the immediate reaction to just the way that the job gets done. We now see a lot of concentrated effort, you know, to evaluate platforms that would facilitate rapidly adjusting the way that we build applications, the way that we build applications that support, you know, existing needs and fill in the gaps for the way that that work gets done, right? It's now going beyond just clinical trials. There's other areas, supply chain, laboratory management, managing how laboratory technicians, scientists, et cetera, can work with the equipment, work with samples, work with assays to get things moving in a much more efficient way. There's certainly an overall push to enhance low-code capabilities across the organizations in order to really achieve that scale and the speed to stay competitive, and adjusting and moving quickly from the information technology and, you know, combined business resilience perspective.
Okay, thanks, guys. So final question, and I'll go with Rajesh here first. Do you see organizations leveraging digitalization today for cost savings versus competitive advantages?
Joe, I think it's both. I don't think that's either cost saving or competitive advantage. It's in fact, in our experience, it's both. And even more than that, it's also about regulatory compliance. It's also about patient safety and speed to market. And this is why this is the driver for the digitization in life sciences. And I would say on top of everything else is speed to market. Everyone is more concerned about how faster can I bring the therapeutic treatments to our patients now. And that's the main driver.
Yeah, I'll reflect on that. You know, Rajesh, from my perspective, like you said, it's not an either or, it's an and, right? It's cost savings and competitive advantage. That competitive advantage will come also from the organization that is able to work in a more agile fashion. I think you mentioned agility earlier, right? And working in an agile development fashion rather than a waterfall. Leveraging platforms that allow you for the ability to build, leveraging low-code capabilities to build applications that get folks to have their work and workflow done in a more efficient, effective way. That will create that ability for an organization to be competitive, to identify cost savings, to realize cost savings as they advance towards getting treatments to market faster, getting treatments in the hands of patients faster, getting more vaccines for any of the future diseases that we'll see, and getting treatments for COVID, as we are still not beyond the full realm of this pandemic at this point.
Rajesh, Evie, I want to thank you. This has been a great, extremely informative conversation, and I just want to thank you for your time, for your extensive knowledge on the subject matter. I hope to talk to you again soon on a future podcast. And to our listeners, I hope you enjoy this chat, and we'll connect with you again soon. Thank you.